The following is a presentation of the American College of Osteopathic Internists.
Welcome to the 2017 Internal Medicine Board Review Course, sponsored by the American College of Osteopathic Internists. The course was held March 22nd through 26th, 2017, at the JW Marriott Las Vegas Resort and Spa. The course featured nationally known speakers presenting a wide variety of topics of interest to the internist preparing for certification or recertification in the specialty of internal medicine. Interactive identification of optic fundi and endocrine physical findings is presented by Dr. John Sutton.
Okay, the next series of slides is sort of a question and answer thing. What you might want to do is take out a little piece of paper and write what you think is the answer, and we're going to go through the slides, and then we're going to come back and answer the questions. This is a patient who presents with a large thyroid and a suburban Detroit lady, and the question is, why should you not give this lady contrast? If contrast is given to this patient, the response in thyroid function would be called what if hyper and what if hypo. So if you give IV contrast to a patient with this huge goiter and the thyroid is low versus high, what are each of those scenarios called? This is a patient that we saw in our adrenal lecture. He has some physical features related to cortisol. And the question is what is the diagnosis? General diagnostic term. This is a profile view. And the question is, what is the facial finding, and what are the two primary screening tests in this patient for this diagnosis? So this is a previous patient of mine who has some physical findings in regards to her eyes. The question is what is the most likely TSH in this patient? Well, let's go back. So what is the most likely TSH in this patient? Question number 4. This is a CAT scan, feet towards you. So what's circled there is in question. And this is an adrenal adenoma. And the question is what about biopsy? And what test is critical to perform prior to biopsy? And would the result be more likely to help with primary adrenal versus metastatic diagnosis? So if you were to biopsy this lesion, would it be most helpful looking for something adrenal diagnosis, particularly adrenal malignancy, versus metastatic diagnosis, which would be most helpful if you were going to biopsy. And adrenal glands are very rarely biopsied. This is a lady who presents overweight. She actually had primary hypothyroidism. And she has this physical finding of darkening of skin at her axilla. And the question is what is that called? And what is the endocrine diagnosis for that finding? Question 6. This is image for question 7, a nuclear thyroid scan with low uptake and a poorly visualized thyroid. Question is this scan typical of Graves? True or false? This scan is typical of Graves, true or false? That's the scan, and the question is this a scan that you would see in a patient with Graves' disease? Which medication is most likely to be on this patient's med list? with that particular image. Amiodarone, aspirin, cardizem, furosemide, Inderal. This is a nuclear thyroid scan. I like to say it looks like somebody's taking a bite out of the thyroid there in the right lower lobe. Question is what is the next diagnostic step if you saw a nuclear thyroid scan that took the bite out? And what are the most likely results? There's the scan. What's the next step? This is a patient who presents in various stages of life, and the question in the latter stages, the question is, what is the name of this physical finding? So the physical finding in the thoracic area is called what? And would the T-score in this patient, if the patient had a bone density DEXA, would it most likely be plus 2.5, minus 2.5, or zero? This is a patient with a nuclear thyroid scan. There's a darker area inferiorly on the left. On the left side of the patient, anyway. And on the other image up above, you can see the salivary glands up there and not just the thyroid, so that's important. Similar patient where all you see is one hot spot. This patient has not had surgery. This patient has not had, presented with an ultrasound that showed both lobes of the thyroid had been present. And the question is what's the most likely TSH result? Low TSH, high TSH, or normal TSH? And then I already gave the answer for the stuff above the thyroid, which is those salivary glands are above the thyroid if you take a typical thyroid nuclear scan image. There are those salivary glands up above. Solitary area of dark uptake. What is the preferred next step in the treatment or evaluation of that patient? So you have a patient with that type of image, and the question is, what do you do next? Biopsy, Cytomel, radioactive iodine, surgery, Synthroid. Here's the next nuclear thyroid scan. And here is scan number two on this question. And the question is, which scan is typical of Graves' disease? So this scan or this scan? The scan or the scan? This is a patient that presents to the hospital in suburban Detroit with a history of blood sugar disorder, and she has some changes on the shins. And the question is what is that skin lesion called? Let's go back here, sorry. So what is this skin lesion called? Patient has a blood sugar disorder. Patient we saw previously, this gentleman as well, in the thyroid lecture. What physical finding is seen on eye examination? And what is the one best test for thyroid diagnosis in this patient? Let's go back and show you those again. So the physical findings of the eyes should alert you to a one best test. And patient presents for a thyroid evaluation, has this physical finding. What is the diagnosis? And what is the associated thyroid diagnosis? So one does not cause the other, but sometimes they're seen together. So the next question is, what is this physical finding called? Reflex response. This patient presents with after neck surgery, anterior neck surgery. And the question is what is this physical finding? The same patient also had this response. So the video shows that we're inflating a blood pressure cuff, and we're looking to see the response of her hand. This is not the patient doing this. It's pulling in on its own. Next question is, in this patient, and this patient, as well as this patient, what term is used to describe the eye findings? This is a patient of mine when I was in practice in suburban Detroit who had had external radiation for lymphoma that was cured 30 years prior to this, and she presented with this physical finding. Similarly, this gentleman presented with a physical finding that you can see actually without palpating the thyroid by just having him swallow. Let's go back and look at that one more time. So the abnormality is on the left. Generally in this case, I will have the patient swallow a little sip of water. Sometimes they have trouble swallowing on command otherwise. What is the next diagnostic step when you have a finding like this? This diagnostic step has actually changed over the 20 years since I've been in practice, over 20 years in practice. This lady is my patient from suburban Detroit, and the question on her case is the TSH likely elevated in a patient who presents with this physical finding? True or false? TSH is likely elevated. Next question, is this physical finding, these white streaks, are they typically seen in pregnancy or adrenal disease? And these similar streaks that are reddish, are they typically seen in pregnancy or adrenal disease? This is a nuclear thyroid scan, and the typical presentation is anterior, right anterior oblique, and left anterior oblique images. This is just an anterior image. The one on the one image on the upper left, though, is at a distance so that you can see at the level of the chin, which can help you make the diagnosis. So which is the most likely scan for the patient to be hyperatropic thyroid? Would this patient be more likely to be hyperthyroid? Now, in the real world, you're going to get an uptake and a scan, and a radiologist is going to tell you about it. In the board world, you might actually have to look at the scan. So that's why I'm presenting this type of information. In endocrinology, we sort of train in looking at an image even before we can see the uptake. Sometimes we get the answer without having the actual uptake. So it's this scan versus this scan. Hold on a second. Yeah. Which is the most likely patient to have hyperthyroidism, this patient or this patient? And what is the most likely TSH value in those patients? This patient presents to for a thyroid evaluation, and she has this physical finding. This is on the anterior shins. It's a little bit difficult to see, but basically it's sort of a raised areas with like a peau de orange speckling of the shins. And the question is what's that physical finding called? The physical finding in this lady, first of all, this lady has a bone and mineral disorder. And the physical finding is the sclera. They are not white. Okay, so the sclera here are not white, and she has a bone and mineral disorder. And the question is, what is the diagnosis? This patient has abnormal hair growth, and the question is, what adrenal and ovarian lab is indicated? Wait a second. Okay, great. Now I'm going to show some retinal images. This is a relatively normal retinal image. Hold on a second, I don't have the questions here. The question here is, what are the little red spots in and around the vessels? The question here is, what are the little white spots called just outside of the vessels? Similar white spots, but in a very difficult to treat location. This is a clearly abnormal image of a diabetic eye, and the question is what's abnormal about the image? This patient has vascular changes that you can see just by external visualization. Question is what is that about, or what is that called? These little elongated, irregular red spots are, what do those represent? This is an image of a diabetic, and the question, a retinal image of a diabetic, and the question is what do the bright spots peripherally, what do they represent? The white areas here have a specific designation just outside the vessels. What are those called? These images go together. Question is what are these findings? Blown up image of that. Okay. So now I'm gonna go back through all these images and we're gonna talk about the answers. So feel free to shout out the answer if you think you know it. So when you have a patient with, in this case, this patient had a huge thyroid and very commonly something this large is filled with nodules. Her thyroid was filled with benign nodules. So these are patients, endocrinologists stop and say, what might happen if the patient's given excessive amounts of iodine, such as in contrast? And so what's the problem with giving contrast to a patient with a large multinodular goiter? The problem is the possibility, the more critical problem is the possibility of hyperthyroidism, but it can also cause hypothyroidism. So these patients that are in the hospital, they're critically ill, you decide to do a CAT scan with contrast and you haven't palpated the thyroid, you might throw that person into some thyroid storm or hyperthyroid crisis by giving them iodine. So contrast might induce, and that would be related to the Jod-Basedow phenomena. And hypothyroidism is referred to as Wolff-Chaikoff. When they're given contrast, Jod-Basedow is hyper, and when they're given contrast, Wolff-Chaikoff is hypo. So this child had exogenous steroids, but he still had the diagnosis of Cushing syndrome. So Cushing syndrome is any excess in steroids, whether it be exogenous or endogenous. Usually they present to an endocrinologist's office after they're off the steroids and have persistent physical findings that might relate to endogenous. This physical feature and two primary screening tests. What are the two primary screening tests for a patient that presents like this where you're trying to exclude endogenous? The 1 milligram overnight dexamethasone suppression test and the 24-hour urine free cortisol. 24-hour urine free cortisol can be done on anybody, but you are required to do it on a patient that's on estrogen because you can't trust the serum cortisol values. 1 milligram overnight dexamethasone suppression test will help you, if it's below a certain value, will help you exclude the diagnosis. I do these a lot in patients that can't seem to lose weight. But sadly in the United States, those of us that can't seem to lose weight, it's not Cushing syndrome. It's not Cushing disease. But I do it because it's academically correct to do, not because you're gonna find a lot of it. But you can at least take that out of the picture. Chipmunk facies is what this kid had and what our other lady had. This lady if you see this lady in your office for the first time, would you expect her to have a high TSH or a low TSH? Low TSH. Yes, hyperthyroidism, H-Y-P-E-R. She actually is one of the first, she tells me she was one of the first people to get radioactive iodine almost in an experimental way, maybe 4 decades ago or 5 decades ago in Los Angeles area. See this little drumette on the right adrenal gland? And the question is, what is the most critical test to perform prior to biopsying that lesion? Urinary catecholamines or serum catecholamines, you need to prove it's not a pheo. You don't want to stick a needle in if you think it's a pheo. And it happens a lot, because these patients don't always wind up in the endocrine office. The pheo part doesn't happen a lot, but the biopsy without the pheo checkup happens a lot. Would the result of this, if you excluded pheo and you said, I wanna know if this is adrenal cancer or some kind of adrenal disease, or is it cancer outside of the adrenal gland? So I didn't mention this specifically in the lecture, but the biopsy is to exclude metastatic disease to the adrenal gland, you can't diagnose adrenal cancer by biopsying the adrenal gland. So you need to first prove that it's not a pheo, and then if you're concerned about a met or not, then you're really concerned about exogenous, something outside of the adrenal gland spreading to it. And if you already have a known diagnosis of cancer, it's most likely to be that cancer. It's particularly breast cancer. What does this represent in the axilla? This is acanthosis nigricans. It can appear everywhere. I've seen it on the, we think of it as in the neck, but you can see it in the axilla. You can see it across the abdomen. Darker skinned patients, you might have a little more difficulty. So I see a lot of Latino patients, and it's a little more difficult to come to that conclusion. And these patients can be diabetic, pre-diabetic, or purely insulin resistance syndrome. So this scan is typical of Graves or no? No, it's correct. False. This scan is, if you had Graves disease, your uptake and the image would be hot and the uptake would be high. And in that case, you couldn't see the thyroid. Which medication is most likely to be seen in this patient's med list? Now, this patient presents in the hyper-HYPER thyroid state, so hyper labs and a low uptake. So as a source of that, which is the offending agent? A. My endocrine professor from Kirksville down here, Dr. Darrow. I don't remember much of that course for some reason. I'm not sure where I got the bug, but that was in Kirksville when we were in school actually 2.5 years, and we had each individual medicine course in that the last semester of that 2.5 years. So amiodarone is loaded with plain iodine. It is very sticky. I have a patient right now who has a very unusual aggressive thyroid cancer, and we want to give him radioactive iodine, but he took amiodarone over 6 months ago, and it's still showing up in his urine, the iodine. And we can't give him radioactive iodine because that's going to block the amiodarone. Iodine from amiodarone is going to block what we would give him. The next scan is this scan where it looks like there's been a bite out of the thyroid inferiorly on the right. The next diagnostic step, what are the most likely results? So when I went into practice 20 years ago, we would have said if you find a nodule on physical examination, you just go ahead and biopsy it. But the ultrasound is so good now that there might be two next steps. One next step is probably to look to see if there are any other nodules, because that may not be the only nodule, okay? And you might need to biopsy more than the one you feel. Maybe there might even be another one that's big enough to biopsy, but you can't feel it. So you want to do ultrasound. In regards to workup, though, of thyroid nodules, the next step also is to know the thyroid function. So you want to check at least a TSH on these patients before you do anything else as well. Okay, so first check a TSH. Commonly it's in the normal range with thyroid nodules. But if it was suppressed, you might do something different. And if it was elevated, you would go ahead and treat with thyroid hormone. It turns out that patients that are hypothyroid with a thyroid nodule, the nodules in the last few years, the literature has shown that these patients are more likely to have thyroid cancer than euthyroid patients. Although most patients that present to your office with a thyroid nodule are euthyroid or normal thyroid function. Ultrasound is part of that mix to make sure that you have more than one or more than one nodule. If you do have a nucleus, so this scan was done in the day in which we did a lot of different tests and ultrasound wasn't huge. Nuclear, because I trained in nuclear, was more common, but in a case where the patient has normal thyroid function, you don't need to routinely do a nuclear thyroid scan. But if you have one and the uptake is cold, there's that bite out of it, that makes the nodule more suspicious as well. And hot nodules generally don't require biopsy. The most common result from a thyroid biopsy is benign. So most of them, 90% or more, are benign. But if it is malignant, the most common result is papillary thyroid cancer, which is the best of them, not the worst of them. Papillary thyroid cancer, then comes follicular thyroid cancer, and then the uglier ones after that. This patient has an increased thoracic kyphosis, and that is also known as a dowager hump from spinal compression fracture, forward bending of the spine. The most likely T-score in this patient would be minus 2.5 or lower. You would use something like the Frax tool. If it wasn't minus 2.5 or lower, you would use the Frax tool, which is an online assessment mechanism to decide if you want to treat an osteopenic patient or not. This is a patient with a hot spot or also a hot nodule, although you can see the salivary gland, so that nodule isn't quite so hot. Otherwise, it would be like this one where it is suppressing the rest of the thyroid. And what is the expected TSH result? The expected result would be, in a hot nodule, would be a low TSH. We talked about what was on there previously. Autonomous nodule with a low TSH. Salivary glands, if they're not present, help because it shows that all the activity is going not into the salivary glands as in a euthyroid patient, but is going into the thyroid. What is the preferred next step in the treatment of a patient with a nuclear thyroid image that looks like this? If you have a hot nodule, is the next step biopsy? No. We don't biopsy hot nodules effectively. Now, you may not have this case in your own clinical practice because, as I told you, if they're euthyroid, you don't do a nuclear thyroid scan. But if you have one and it's hot, that does help you. We don't routinely do it. We sometimes do it. We wouldn't treat any nodule. So for some in my age group or older, we used to say add thyroid hormone to try to shrink the nodule. We don't do that anymore in a euthyroid or hyperthyroid patient. So the next step in this patient, if they were hyper with radioactive iodine, would be radioactive iodine or surgery, okay? And surgery would probably be the preferred. You might need to prep them with antithyroid medicine and beta blockers, or possibly even just beta blocker. Now, if they have that hot nodule and they're euthyroid, then you might not need to do anything because the nodule doesn't need to come out if it's not hyper or not suspected of being cancer. So of these thyroid scans, this one versus this one, which one is typical of Graves' disease? Is this one more typical of Graves' disease or this one? So the second one's sort of lumpy, so those aren't usually Graves. It's these patients here. See the background activity? It's sort of all white. All the radioactivity is going to the thyroid. In real world, you're going to get, and probably on the boards, you're going to get a count, and they're going to say the uptake is high or the uptake is low. They're not going to ask you to try to look at the uptake, but in clinical practice, it's helpful to know that. No background, diffuse, not irregular, more intense uptake in the thyroid compared to the poorly visualized thyroid salivary glands. Sorry. Okay. What's this in this patient with a blood sugar diagnosis? This is necrobiosis lipotica. It used to be called necrobiosis lipotica diabeticorum. You potentially can see it in other patients besides diabetics. That's why they took out the diabeticorum. Pretibial skin lesions of this lady with eye findings. And so if you see this patient, what's the one best test? TSH. And this is periorbital edema. So I advise you to always go back to the TSH, and don't think that you're going to find some other thing. I get lots of consults on, is this something else besides what I think it is? Always go back to the TSH when something looks odd, because the TSH is almost always the answer. What's the diagnosis in this patient? This is vitiligo. And the autoimmune skin condition, which could be potentially associated with Hashimoto thyroiditis. See a lot of vitiligo in my practice. This physical finding here is called pseudomyotonia, is seen in hypothyroidism. It's the delay in the relaxation phase of the deep tendon reflex or stretch reflex. What is this physical finding? This is Shavastic sign. It's representative of significant hypocalcemia, although 10% of the population has this and is not hypocalcemic. Some of these patients, their body has a bad memory of hypoglycemia, and they continue to have Shavastic sign positive even when they have normal calcium levels. Shavastic sign. Trousseau's, Dr. Darrow, you are right. So Trousseau's tends to be found in more severe, but I periodically have a patient that feels pretty well and comes to me with this, and I've periodically seen patients, of course, in the hospital after thyroid surgery with this. Hopefully you don't see much of this, and which means you have good thyroid surgery in your hospital. What term is used to describe these eye findings? The answer is lid retraction or lid lag. We call it sometimes ophthalmopathy, and many times they're proptotic, but you have to measure them to know whether their eyes are protruding or not. Some just have just the lid retraction. When you correct their thyroid function into the normal range, that goes away and they're good. This patient with external steroids, and this gentleman with the development of a thyroid nodule, where you can see when he swallows. The next diagnostic step is you need the TSH first, okay, because you, TSH and or ultrasound together, I should say. And you want the TSH because if they're hyperthyroid, you're going to do something differently. You don't want to stick a needle in a hot nodule. Thyroid ultrasound is important to define just how big the nodule is. And sometimes when you feel what you think is a nodule, when you do an ultrasound, there's no nodule. And so you don't need to biopsy it if it feels like a nodule, but there's not a distinct nodule there. Sometimes you can have irregularity in the gland that is not actually a nodule. You want to biopsy larger suspicious nodules. More suspicious nodules, elevated TSH makes the nodule more suspicious. Every nodule has its own significance, is the current term, which is when I was in training over 20 years ago, we said biopsy the biggest one, or biopsy if you can feel it, but don't worry about it otherwise. And now we say you got to think about every nodule. So I get patients referred to me now that are very difficult in that regards, because the ultrasound picks up every little ditzel, and I have patients with 20 nodules, and I have to think about every nodule to try to figure out what I'm going to do about it. The plus to all of that is that in our future, there may be nodules that don't need to be biopsied that you know are cancer but are not spreading, and when they prove to us how we need to be able to do that, there's a possibility that we'll be able to watch and wait even on patients that have thyroid cancer. What's the most likely thyroid function in this patient? It's a patient that presents to you with a goiter, untouched previously, nobody's assessed it. The most likely TSH is normal. So goiters are often euthyroid. They can be hyper or hypothyroid. If they're not euthyroid, they're most likely to be hyperthyroid. What I tell patients is if you can grow a goiter, generally you don't have low thyroid function and you're using your efforts to grow a thyroid. These stria are pregnancy or adrenal? Pregnancy. And these stria are adrenal or pregnancy? Adrenal. So happens that in her case, it was exogenous steroids that was the source. Which is the most likely scan in hyperthyroidism? Scan number two. So that scan number one, you get some background. Again, in the real world, they're going to say to you, the uptake is elevated. I don't think you should be expected to know that 30% at 24 hours is normal. Above 30% is elevated. But if someone said, if the uptake is elevated, then this scan would be most likely because all of the tracer is going into the thyroid. You can't see the salivary glands. You don't see anything in the background. Most likely TSH is low. What skin finding is this in a known hyperthyroid patient? I have seen this very rarely. This is pretibial myxedema. So it's kind of a funny thing because myxedema generally refers to hypothyroidism, but these patients are hyper. You get an orange peel look to the pretibia, sort of a raised orange peel look. This patient has blue sclera and represents osteogenesis imperfecta. If you're going to assess adrenal or ovarian, I suggest that you start with DHEAS and testosterone values, looking for an adrenal lesion, DHEAS, and ovarian lesion, testosterone. This is a relatively normal retina. This is background diabetic retinopathy. And I think it's fair game. And main thing that you need to know, and I think basically all I know about it is, you either have a normal retina, you have a few little speckles, or you have critical disease. The few little speckles is background, yearly follow-up. The serious disease might need some kind of intervention. That's background diabetic retinopathy. Those little white specks are exudates. Those little white specks are also exudates, but they're in the macula, and that's a problem because, especially with diabetic retinopathy or other retinopathies, the macula is usually later to be affected, and when you see them in the macula, you got a problem, a bigger problem. Exudates in the macula. So you shouldn't see all these extra vessels, and that is proliferative diabetic retinopathy, and those extra vessels are under-oxygenated retina. The body puts out extra vessels if it's poorly oxygenated, and and those vessels aren't good, strong vessels, and they often bleed and do funny things, and they need intervention. Diabetic proliferative retinopathy. This is so proliferative that you can see it in the anterior chamber. Neovascularization of the iris. I've never seen it. These are from hypertension. You get dot and blot hemorrhages from diabetes and flame hemorrhages for hypertension. That's the dot blot, that's flame. Did anybody know what these spots are on here? These are laser spots. So this is a patient that's had proliferative. And see how the macula is relatively preserved? That's not where the disease is. It's peripherally, thankfully. And what I tell diabetics is the reason you need year-to-year exams is because this doesn't sneak up on you, but it does if you don't have an exam because the macula allows you to still clearly see until it's too late if you don't have the exam. Laser surgery hits. These are cotton wool spots. This is AV. There's your normal. And there's our founder, A.T. Still.